Online 24/7 and worldwide in radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Student Radio Association show on In Radio. I'm Anna Louise from CSRFM, and shortly we'll be running you through some major announcements about the SRA conference, which this year is happening at Cardiff University on March the 30th. So excited. But before we do that, the next half an hour is devoted to International Women's Day. Celebrated on March the 8th every year since 1914, International Women's Day is also a big day in Student Radio's calendar, and we have so much excellent student content to get through. We start at Fly FM now with Jen Thomas, who tells us about some of the movements happening on the day, including the Girls Against campaign, and also talking about some of her own personal experiences as a woman with unwanted sexual attention.
This is Jen Thomas on Fly FM. I'm here with you until 3 p.m. Now, we've been talking about it being International Women's Day, talk about the fact that comedian Richard Herring has been setting people straight on Twitter, all of the people that are saying, when's Men's Day? And apparently it's the 19th of November, so fear not, that's one to put in your diaries. Also, we were talking about the Girls Against campaign, so you can follow them on Twitter, which is at Girls Against, and that's talking about the fact that the number of women which are facing sexual assault at gigs and festivals, they've now got over 11,000 followers, and they've got so got a lot of different information and advice, and they're all different bands who take part and join in. Now, in the news that Matt Lynch was reading earlier, there are new statistics that almost two-thirds of women in the UK have had unwanted sexual attention in public places, and that was from a survey by YouGov, and saying 889 women were asked, and 64% of them said they'd experienced some form of sexual harassment, with 35% saying they'd suffered unwanted sexual touching. And that was published by the Coalition of Women's Organisations because of it being International Women's Day. So if you've ever experienced anything, or if you've got any thoughts, send me a tweet at fly_FM. But there have been several high-profile female musicians that have spoken out about it. Lauren from Churches, she's talked previously about the amount of harassment that she's received being a female front woman. She shared an Instagram post with some of the things that was said to her. There was some quite graphic content which was said. She didn't name and shame them, but she posted it while blocking their name, just showing some of the things that she receives online. And also Grimes, who's playing at Rock City tonight, she's talked at length about the fact that people don't take her seriously as a female musician. She's had them saying that they won't let her produce her own music. She will step in and say, can I edit the vocals? And then one of them will say, well, why don't you let me do it? Whereas at gigs, there was an incident recently at Rock City where a girl was tipped over a barrier. Nottinghamshire Police have done a post about that, where she suffered a spiral fracture to her shoulder after a guy lifted her feet off the floor and tipped her over. So it is something which is frighteningly common. So we've got this going on in the background, and sisters are doing it for themselves. So it is the International Women's Day. So in your news there, you were saying about the statistics of saying the number of women that have had the unwanted attention. It's one thing that I've tried to explain to my other half, because we live in Basford, and the area where we live, it's all right, it's not too bad. But there are times where I'll get the tram back at about 10:30, 11. It's only about 5-10 minutes from my house. And I'll say to Duncan, do you mind coming to meet me? And you can just see he's genuinely quite confused as to why I'm asking him to come and meet you when it's only a 5-10 minute walk. And I think sometimes that's the reason that people do try and raise awareness, because he walks down the street and never has to worry about anybody saying anything to him. Whereas I've lost count the amount of times that I'm walking to that tram stop. It just happened yesterday, and there were some kids, they can't have been older than about 15, 16, just these lads stood at the bottom of the tram stop, and they start shouting comments about how you look, going, oh, all right, darling, with your black hair, and all these things. You do get it an awful lot, and sadly, the figures in those statistics don't surprise me. And the fact that Richard Herring is having to spend these 24 hours because he knew there would be so many people going, when's Men's Day?
Thank you to Jen Thomas from Fly FM for sharing her experiences on International Women's Day. Next up, we go to Spark Sunderland, where Lauren Parton spoke to Bend It Like Beckham star Pooja Shah and IKEA communications manager Anne Sophie Gunnison about a new initiative the company are putting into place to help Indian women in work.
Hi, my name's Pooja Shah, and I'm here on International Women's Day.
My name is Anne Sophie Gunnison, and I'm here on the International Women's Day.
Obviously, today is International Women's Day, so which woman inspires you the most?
As cheesy as that sounds, it'd probably be my mother. I've always looked up to her, and I think I look up to her more now than ever, being a mother myself, seeing everything she's gone through and what she's achieved in her life. And I definitely have to say my mum.
Yeah, they're definitely inspiring people. They do a lot for us, don't they?
Yeah, and I guess you don't appreciate it when you're a moody teenager, which is what I was. And it's only now that I really do realise everything that she's done and how incredible it is.
You played Mina in Bend It Like Beckham, which sees a girl forbidden to play football because of her gender. So do you think inequality towards women has changed at all?
I think it is changing. I don't think it's completely where it should be. But when you look back how it used to be quite a few decades ago, it's definitely come a very, very long way. But then when you compare it to certain places like, say, India, for example, you realise how privileged we actually are, because a lot of the women over there is a massive gap in gender equality, and they're often looked at as second grade citizens. And it's quite sad, really. And it's so wonderful that someone like IKEA is offering these opportunities to benefit so many women in India with their initiatives.
So you say the opportunity and benefits, what sort of things are they given?
With this new initiative that IKEA is doing, they've brought out a new range called Hemtrack, and that is basically producing products which are embroidered by hand by women in India to empower them by giving them employment, giving them their own income, and just changing their futures.
Really make a big difference towards them then?
A huge difference, not just to them, to their children, to future generations. And I think it's just going to change the outlook of a lot of women. It's going to really impact their lives forever. Just think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it could really give them like a positive look towards life.
It gives them a voice and lets them realise they can actually make a difference to society, and can learn new skills, and they can become literate, and they can learn about children's and women's rights, and they have a place in society.
Social enterprises are involved with helping the plight of women working in India, like you mentioned. So just for those unaware, could you explain what else they do?
The social enterprises we are working with, they provide skills training for the women, and they also have different awareness activities for the women. As they have a profession and they have a skill, they also get aware of their rights, their women rights, and they can demand from the society and what their position they can take in the family. They have a wider scope, not only providing livelihood, which of course is the social enterprise's main purpose, but also to open up the world for those women involved.
So why are you supporting the initiative of women gain independence in India?
I here support those enterprises because we want to contribute to sustainable livelihood, and we want to contribute to women empowerment. And this is one way to do it, when we co-create edition collections, and one collection is Hemtrack, is now out of selected stores in UK. And this gives also us the possibility to get handcrafted products that we can offer our customers. So it's really a win-win situation. The social enterprises get access to IKEA and IKEA stores and our knowledge in design, and we here get access to handcrafted, traditional handcraft techniques.
So it is really a lovely cause that is happening in the mum, but how can we support the cause to take steps towards global gender parity if we can't help over there? How can we do it from here?
I think by just sort of being aware of this initiative as well is a great way of doing your little... I think a lot of the money, you know, it's better than giving charity to the women of India. We'd rather that they get these opportunities and get given life skills. And by supporting IKEA and by purchasing anything from the Hemtrack range, you are as well supporting what IKEA are trying to achieve.
Thank you to Lauren Parton from Spark in Sunderland for her interview on the improvements in work rights for women in India. Smoke Radio in the University of Westminster covered the importance of International Women's Day on a global scale, focusing the discussion on a political level.
So yes. 2016, the question is, do we still need International Women's Day? If you have any opinions on this, you can tweet us at smoke_radio. You can hashtag IWD2016, and also remember the hashtag Pledge for Parity.
And even hashtag International Women's Day. There's so many hashtags flying around today.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you type in the letter I, they'll all pop up. So, but yeah, I mean, it's debatable as to whether. I mean, personally, I think we do still need International Women's Day.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that obviously we've got an International Men's Day, you know, so as long as we've got both of them,
yeah,
you know,
it's fine.
One or the other's not going to. But I think it's just, even if we get to the point where in this country, you know, we don't see it as being so necessary. Like, we've got to say we hold the world perspective. But I mean, we've still got a gender wage gap that's, you know, it's fairly large in this country, bearing in mind that it's supposed to be illegal. You know, the idea of having a gap for a man and a woman that do the same job. And I think, and also things, talking about jobs, things like discrimination towards women in terms of, you know, with the idea of a woman of childbearing age.
Yeah. I was just reading earlier as well, talking about, like, jobs and stuff. Like, only a fifth of parliamentary seats are held by women, and only 19 heads of state out of a possible 196 are women. And that's only seven more than it was 20 years ago.
I mean, Angela Merkel is, again, this year, she was number one on the most influential women list. Because if you think about... No, I think the... I mean, if you look at European countries, obviously, we won't go into the EU debate today, but she's, you know, at the head of the EU.
Yeah.
She knows she's done well for herself, bearing in mind that it's not, as you say, you know, it's not at all common, and statistically, it's not very likely for a woman to be a head of state, never mind a head of a sort of union like the EU.
Yeah, but the number of female cabinet ministers has at least tripled between 1994 and 2014, but remains low compared to men at only 17%. So it's still pretty low. I mean, we're getting there, but really slowly. It's said that, like, women are also predicted to have to wait another 118 years for the gender pay gap to close, with only 55 of the 5,000 richest people in the world being women.
If you actually go onto the International Women's Day website, there is a little countdown at the top, counting down 118, counting down from 118 years. To when we'll have pay equality, which is, I mean, I find that quite funny.
What is this? If you just if you'd like somebody to understand, like, just explain what the what's going to happen when we don't when we have pay equality. We're going to be all everyone's going to be paid the same, basically.
Yeah.
But people say, like, because you can see now, like, women are being paid the same as men, but where aren't they? Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to say it. Do you know what I mean? What areas aren't they being paid the same in for people that don't get it?
I mean, a lot of... Well, I mean, there's the point that there are way more men in top jobs anyway. There are more men named John running companies. Named John on the FTSE 100 companies. More men named John than there are women.
Oh my god, that's so sad. Like, the name of somebody, is more representative than a woman.
I mean, given John is a popular name, I'll give you that. You know, it's a lovely name, but I mean, it's still not a great statistic, really.
Thank you to Sean and Leah from Smoke Radio for their work on International Women's Day. In Manchester, Fuse FM's news channel actually investigated their own university to cover this year's theme, parity on International Women's Day.
You are listening to Fuse FM, Manchester's biggest student radio station.
Male professors at the University of Manchester are paid on average £6,140 less than their female counterparts, meaning that they earn 92.6% of what their male colleagues do. That's according to the University and College Union, who looked into 162 universities for their report on pay inequality. Of those universities, only 8 paid women equal to or more than men in the same jobs. Women only make up 34% of the university's academic staff, which is well below the national average. Whilst it's somewhat encouraging that the university has more equality of pay than the national average, women on average earn 83% of what men do, according to the Office of National Statistics, it seems that there is still room for improvement. Riddhi, Mara, what do you guys think about this?
In a way, it's not surprising, is it?
No, not really.
It's so sad. I was reading an article, actually, about the gender gap in technology firms, and there they found that actually the biggest inequality is in the positions rather than the pay. So less women were being given the higher paid roles, and that is why it appeared that women had were paid less.
Yeah, because according to the statistics, the actual gap hasn't really changed that much over the last like couple of decades, so it would seem as though that would probably be the main issue, the fact that they're not given the opportunity to get into those higher paid roles.
Yeah, exactly.
Recently I attended Women in Media conference, and from that conference what I learned was that women are discriminated against because of motherhood, because firms are not willing to pay for their maternity allowances.
Yeah, you can think from their perspective, it's like there's going to be a point at which this person is going to leave us for about a year, which is obviously not a very diplomatic way of looking at it when you're choosing your employees.
No, and now with paternity leave and increasing paternity leave and things like that, you know, men will also leave you for a while. Perhaps they would like the opportunity.
And also it kind of leads into an assumption that all women want to have children in the first place, like, which is a really bad assumption to make. Like, not all women are going to want to, and therefore they're not going to need the maternity leave. Yeah. And that would lead to that discrimination being just completely arbitrary.
Yeah, and instead of restricting women's possibilities, why don't we have a system that kind of deals with them constructively rather than, you know, stopping women from being able to take up high positions or positions of high responsibility?
Yeah, I was thinking of it that there are certain sectors, like especially media, investment banking, where only men are given priority because of the working hours. Women are assumed that they can't work night hours or they can't work for late shifts, which I think should bring about a change, at least starting from this Women's Day.
Excellent work there from Fuse FM in Manchester. Lastly, we go to URN in Nottingham to Anya Lawrence, whose 19% podcast covered International Women's Day with not one, but five podcasts. We hear now her interview with Kay Siren, who sung Intimacy, the official song for International Women's Day 2016.
Yeah, I'm a mum. I'm a mum of four. That's my number one thing now, probably in life. But I used to train at RADA in Guildhall in London. So I lived in England for 10 years and I acted there, and I was lucky to get some fantastic parts, actually from a female Sphinx theatre company. I don't know if you heard about it, but it's a wonderful Sue Parrish. She's the director of the company, and they make sure to put on plays where women has the main characters, because there's so many plays where male, of course, are playing the leads. And so I was very lucky. So I had quite a few productions with them.
I did a search for the Sphinx Theatre Company because, as you just heard, I'd never heard of it before. And they make a super interesting point. Male characters are the central drive of most plays, despite there being more female writers and directors than ever before. So that's something to think about. I've got a quote here from the director of the company, Sue Parrish, who Katrina just mentioned. Sue says that, quote, "What I find shocking and disheartening is the general ignorance of most young people in the history of feminism. I so often feel like we're reinventing the wheel," end quote. I totally feel like that sometimes. Sometimes I forget that not everyone's a feminist, and I feel like I'm having the same conversations over and over again. Anyway, back to Katrina.
After doing that, I met a man that's, I'm Norwegian myself, and he's half Norwegian but half Swiss. And he brought me to Switzerland, which is very much still like, in my eyes, like in the 50s, where the women should stay at home, where, you know, it's quite old-fashioned, and the women actually got their vote in 71.
Wow.
And the last cantoon in 86.
Okay, can we just pause for a second to think about that? I had absolutely no idea that women only got the vote in Switzerland in 1971. Switzerland. Like, I can't even tell you how much that shocked me. We think about women having the vote as something really old school, like a problem our great-great-grandmothers had to face. But the reality is so much closer than I realised. Anyway, let's get back to Katrina. So Katrina moves to Switzerland, which she finds, by comparison to Norway, oppressive and conservative. And she gets stuck into her work.
So for me coming here, I was the first one to produce the Vagina Monologues. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
So I put that on in Geneva. So I shocked them a bit. No, they loved it. They loved it, actually. And then I've continued. I did a cancer play. It was actually a comedy. It's not a funny theme at all, but it's also women. And I put on that, and then I also have written now a play for Human Rights Watch called Breaking the Silence, which is really bringing up all the themes that are still so actual and still we have to work on for women. because of the acting in Switzerland, it's not a huge thing. Then I started, because music is very big here. You have the Montreux Jazz Festival, you have the Paléo, plenty of festivals. So I then started singing, because I also sing opera, so I started singing with this jazz, classical jazz band. And then I got picked up by these hard rock group in Geneva.
From there, it seems like Katrina's career is a total whirlwind. And what's interesting is that she very much makes her own luck.
It's quite small here, you know? So when you come and you're an artist, and I'm very much a person that doesn't sit at home and wait for someone to call me, because that won't happen. So you have to go out there and get it and find it yourself. And then they heard about me. So that's how it all happened. And then there was actually a band who was looking for a new singer. And I went for audition because they write their own music. So that's how I got into starting to write. And I really enjoyed it because it's another way of expressing yourself.
A guy from Nashville heard one of her songs and she made an album with him. And then Paul Sutton, who, by the way, works with Phil Collins, heard it and introduced her to various producers in England and America. And that's sort of where she is now.
What is so beautiful now, I feel, is the fact that that with the music, it's also brought my passion for the cause of women. That I was so honored now to be, that my song is the anthem for women for 2016. That's a big, big honor. And then it kind of makes sense. It kind of all comes together.
I think I was going to say, like, the song seems to really kind of underpin your whole career working towards women's rights, human rights. And it just seems to be like quite an emblem of that.
Yeah, and I actually got the news the 23rd of December and I cried the whole day.
Oh, oh
and I
gosh.
Thought that's the best Christmas present I could ever dream of. I mean, it's a huge, I feel very humble. I don't feel I deserve it, but it's a huge, yeah, it's lovely. And it feels like it's kind of in my cards that I should move to Switzerland, because it's not a place I thought of ever. And, you know, it's sometimes in life, fate, you have to believe in it.
Katrina wrote the song in 2014.
Yeah, I got very inspired because I read this book about a middle-aged woman who felt so kind of out of place and insecure and not needed. And, you know, she'd had her husband, she had her children, and yeah, felt like there was no kind of purpose for her anymore, and suddenly she's standing in front of the mirror, and she's watching herself completely naked, and she sees that she's still really beautiful, and that she still has so much to give, and I thought, you know, every woman, they are beautiful. I think women are really beautiful, and it's should be celebrated. I'm tearing up. Really, the message for me is really that a woman should be celebrated, that she should feel proud of who she is, and I think it's, you know, when I look at society, I feel any kind of age for a woman or girl, or, you know, they should feel a confidence, an inner confidence. And I often feel that men are, even if it's real or fake, I don't know, but, you know, they're kind of pushed forward. And I think a woman should have that feeling of celebration, of being a woman. I think that's to me the kind of message behind it.
I feel like Katrina has the most inspiring message for women, not just in her music or writing or plays, but in herself. She hasn't sat back and let anyone else decide if she's going to make it or not. It's that she's gone out there and she's made her own luck. More than her song, more than her plays, I feel like it's Katrina who really represents so much of what International Women's Day stands for.
That concludes the International Women's Day show from the Student Radio Association. A big thank you to Fly FM, Spark Sunderland, Smoke Radio, Fuse FM and URN for their work. Don't go anywhere though, as SRA Content Officer Dom Sterling takes the reins now for a special programme on the upcoming SRA conference. So looking forward to that. I'm Anna Louise from CSR FM. You can find me on Twitter at Anna Louise Radio. Thanks for joining me.
Online 24/7 and worldwide in radio.